Thank you so much for tuning in to the KTH 910 AM interview of the week this afternoon. I hope you are doing well. My name is Dave Palmer, executive director here at the station. And Diane Xavier is producing the program, running the board. And I have in studio with me a friend who I have known for many years. In fact, he helped my wife Paula and I in the efforts to conceive our second child, and we'll get more into that in a moment. But we're going to talk today about natural family planning, especially the Billings ovulation method. There's an organization you may or may not be familiar with called the BOMA USA, the Billings Ovulation Method Association USA. And Dr. Craig Tursinski is the Director of Development and Strategic Planning for BOMA USA, and he lives in the Van Alstine area and goes to a church there at Holy Family Parish in Van Alstine, yes. And he joins me in studio to talk about BOMA USA and get kind of his background. And so, Dr. Craig, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to see you again and to be here.
So. Mm-hmm. That little girl that you were helping us conceive just turned 11 the other day, so that tells you how far we go
wonderful.
Back.
That's wonderful. And I remember our daughter was still at home and young. She's in helping out with your youngest and or your oldest. I'm sorry, and
yeah.
And she's now married and has a child and one on the way too.
So time flies, doesn't it? And you have a really interesting background of where you got to where you are now. I think it's interesting. You have a PhD in reproductive physiology. Is that right?
That's correct.
Working mostly with animals. Tell us about your background and what got you to where you are now.
So. Grew up on a farm in Iowa and decided to pursue a degree in animal science, undergraduate degree. Was thinking about maybe vet school. And then I decided to do a PhD instead of the DVM.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose Texas A&M to do that degree. Yeah, a great place. We love it there. So the degree's in physiology of reproduction, and it's basically assisted reproductive technology, mm-hmm. only done in animals. I don't know how many people realize this, but in the human field, when the laboratories were first developed to do in vitro fertilization, most of the lab directors, the people that started those labs, came from the agriculture field because those were the people that had the experience working with embryos and doing IVF.
And it is very indicative of, you know, what was licit to do on animals was not on humans, but then things changed. And all of a sudden, they're saying, okay, what you could do for a dog or a cat or a cow, I think we'll go ahead and transfer that over to humans as well.
Right.
That's very telling, isn't it?
It is.
A shift.
It is. And I would even point out that at the beginning, they adapted techniques that were already done, at least in animals. Now the field has moved to where they're actually doing procedures before they're being done in animals.
Oh, really? Like testing on humans?
Well, for instance, ICSI, intracytoplasmic sperm injection, is a technique that's done to fertilize most embryos now, mm-hmm. in assisted reproductive technology. That was first done successfully in humans, not done in animals first.
And so you actually worked in the field at some point before you had some moral compunctions that said, I don't think I can do this, right? What were you doing?
So after I finished my PhD, I went on to do postdoctoral training in Wichita, Kansas, a place called the Women's Research Institute. And that's where I kind of adapted what I had learned to application in humans. And then I was offered a position to direct an IVF lab in Shreveport, Louisiana, at LSU Medical Center. I took that position and basically helped them build their program, and I directed the laboratory for about 5 years.
Yeah. It's almost like, you know, somebody who has, you know, fallen into drugs or alcoholism, sometimes it's a kind of a strange, can almost help the people who fall into that better because they've been there. Do you ever see that? Not that it was good, but maybe that experience helps you to understand the field a little bit better that you were in on the other side, so to speak?
Absolutely. You know, even though I was born a Catholic, I was a cradle Catholic, I guess maybe I didn't get that much exposure to the teaching, but I I take responsibility for that.
Yeah.
I pretty much ignored that side of my faith.
Yeah.
And while I was there, though, when I observed what I call now disorder, because when you're not following natural law, you mm-hmm. create disorder.
Yeah.
It was through that disorder, that questioning of what we were doing, that drew me to my faith and drew me to understand the church's teaching.
Mm-hmm. I want to get into BOMA USA and the main reason why you're here, but I just want to ask you one more question.
Sure.
How concerned should we, the people who don't really have the breadth of knowledge that you have in this field, be concerned about what's happening in laboratories right now and the kind of reproductive testing and how sinister is it, and how concerned should we be?
So first of all, the people in the field, most all of them are like myself, where they're in it for altruistic reasons. Mm-hmm. They want to help people. So they're at heart, they're good people, but they're just misguided. The field has been able to correct some issues that they had. One was the multiple pregnancy issue. At the time that I was there, we would routinely transfer 5 embryos, 3 to 5, and multiple pregnancies were very common. And then a technique called selective reduction would be used.
Yeah.
They've improved on that to some degree. But one area that I would say that it is needs to be resolved is the freezing of embryos.
Yeah.
There are literally thousands of embryos across the country that are in liquid nitrogen tanks. Most of the fate of those will be either to be discarded or used for research.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just an example of some of the disorder when we create additional problems trying to solve problems improperly.
Right. All right. Let's switch to what you're doing now, which is something that you can do with a clear conscience and really, really help people.
Right.
And that is your position, Director of Development and Strategic Planning at the BOMA USA, Billings Ovulation Method Association USA. So tell us about how you got connected with this organization.
Okay. So, since I left the IVF field, which was now 20 years ago, I got focused on supporting my family, but I always missed the science.
Mm-hmm.
There was a period of time when I did some training in Creighton.
Mm-hmm.
It's when I had the opportunity to meet you and Paula.
Yes.
It's when I also had the opportunity to teach my daughter. It was a very critical time in her life.
Yeah.
But then got busy again and didn't pursue it. About a year ago now, I decided that it's time for me to go back and finish some training in natural family planning. And I just happened to choose the Billings ovulation method. There's a lot of science behind it. And frankly, the opportunity for me to do courses online and do the training that way was somewhat key in my busy schedule
mm-hmm.
for choosing the Billings ovulation method. So I got certified as a teacher, got involved in the organization, and then when they were looking for somebody to help with planning and development, I raised my hand and said, I think God's calling me to do this, and they offered me the position.
Always be careful when you raise your hand, right? Because you're going to get picked. Well, how broad is this? Are there is there a national headquarters? Are there obviously there's people doing Billings ovulation method counseling and teaching across the country and the world? How vast is BOMA?
So BOMA is the official affiliate of Womb International. It's based in Australia.
Okay.
So the Billings ovulation method was developed by 2 doctors in Australia, John and Evelyn Billings, along with a couple noted scientists, Dr. Odeblad and Dr. Brown. Dr. Odeblad did lots of studies specifically on the cervix, and Dr. Brown did essentially 850,000 hormonal assays to correlate the method. So the Billings ovulation method is widespread across the whole world, and even in remote parts of the world, it's an easy method to learn. And even if you are illiterate or blind, you can use the method. So in the United States, There's about maybe 100 or so teachers, and through those teachers, we teach hundreds of women and couples how to use the Billings ovulation method to either postpone or achieve pregnancy. But what we're finding, it's maybe even more powerful, is the ability for the woman to monitor her health throughout her lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Because ovulation in the cycle is a biomarker for the health of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of physicians now throughout the world that are beginning to utilize that as a way to detect early signs of cervical cancer, hyperprolactinemia, thyroid disease, metabolic disorders.
Mm. Is this even postmenopause, or does it have to be during a menstrual area time of their life?
It has to be during the woman's reproductive life, but
okay.
it's very helpful for women as they're approaching the perimenopause, and it's also very useful for a young woman who are entering into puberty to help them transition into the menarche.
Mm-hmm.
So, by not masking the underlying causes of, say, irregular cycles, which, by the way, will only resurface later if the young woman is put on to chemical hormones. It'll just resurface later in life.
Mm-hmm.
By allowing her to essentially find what those underlying causes are, it's very helpful in the health of that woman.
Is NFP, you know, whether it be Billings or the Creighton motto, is it still seen as kind of a religious thing, or has it hit the mainstream and penetrated the mainstream market, so to speak? Or
right.
How many people kind of know about this, and how widespread is it?
It's growing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't have the number. I can't give you the number of the people who actually utilize it. It is still small, and it's
yeah.
still mostly in the Catholic community. But there's a new term now that's been coined, fertility awareness-based methods.
Okay.
And it's becoming more widespread, especially in the current culture of being concerned about what we eat, organic movement, natural food production.
Yeah.
You know, people are beginning to recognize that perhaps the methods that we've been using in women's health are not always the most healthy methods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny how there seems to be a double standard with every other area of life. A lot of people, even, you know, more kind of left-leaning people, love everything natural, their food, and, you know, but then when it comes to anything having to do with sexuality, it's like, no, we want, you know, the chemicals.
Right.
We don't want the natural methods. So
right.
maybe that is the starting to change.
Right.
All right. I'm speaking to Dr. Craig Trusinski. He is he has a PhD in reproductive physiology, and he now serves as Director of Development and Strategic Planning for BOMA USA, Billings Ovulation Method Association USA. So what would you most like our listeners to know? Are you looking for funds, for teachers, for folks who want to be trained, or what's the biggest need right now?
Yes.
All the above?
Yeah, of course, any nonprofit. But specifically, we want to solve a problem. And a problem that people have in this field is finding a healthcare practitioner that can use the information that the woman has gained through her learning of her cycle, utilize that in her treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Or even before exposing young women before they go, you know, start their
yeah,
cycle.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is that the science, again, this science goes back over 50 years.
Yeah.
It's been perfected and studied for over 50 years. The science is very solid. This is not being taught in medical school, nursing school, PAs, other allied health professionals. Don't get exposed to it, so they don't know that it's credible.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is very simple. We want to train doctors, nurses, PAs, pharmacists, other allied people early in their career while they're still students. And by doing that, they will be able to recognize propaganda
mm-hmm.
and and recognize truth. And then when they graduate, they can become champions for fertility awareness-based methods, NFP, in their chosen profession.
Yeah. I'm thinking of like the Catholic Medical Association. There's Catholic Physicians groups. I've interviewed a number of Catholic physicians before. Is there a connection between you and them? Because obviously these are the folks you want to address, or Catholic medical students. How successfully have you been able to penetrate and work with some of these groups?
So I've been kind of active again in this NFP world now for about a year, and it's a small world.
Yeah.
So you hear the same names and you see the same faces in a lot of these organizations, and we are trying to cross-pollinate with many of them. Yeah. There's an organization called FACS that actually held a conference here this past weekend on Saturday. We were there. Mm. It stands for Fertility Awareness Consortium to Teach the Science. and they had about 100 or so people.
Yeah.
In that conference, a lot of young healthcare practitioners, and anybody that attended a meeting like that, there's no way if they were concerned about their patients, could walk away from there saying, I'm not going to implement this.
Right.
So by just getting the word out and cross-pollinating with the Catholic Medical Association and FACS and other organizations is absolutely what we want to do.
So the professionals you want to train, what about the newly married couple that's listening right now and saying, I just want to learn this. Yeah, I may not teach it, and it's not my profession, but I want to learn it just for my own marriage. You interested in those folks reaching out to you also?
Absolutely. You can give out my email, and I'll be happy to follow up with any couples that want to do that. But we have several very talented teachers here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that have been doing this for quite some time. And so if there's an interest to learn the method, just either contact myself or the main website. I mean, the main email for our organization, and we will find a teacher for you.
All right. Can I give your phone number out too?
Absolutely.
469-877-4821. That's phone number, 469-877-4821. The email address, craig@boma-usa.org. So C-R-A-I-G at boma-usa.org, and boma-usa.org is the main website. As you know, I mentioned Creighton and mentioned Billings, and maybe there's some other method as well. What's the difference, or what's the methodology? And we only have a few minutes, but maybe you can give the short condensed version of this.
Sure, I'll answer that, and then I definitely want to get some information in on the fact of what we're actually trying to do in terms of raising money for that initiative that I just talked about. But so there are methods that rely on the cervical mucus sign. And Creighton model would be one of those. Billings ovulation method would be one of those. They're very similar, with some minor differences in how the woman would recognize the signs.
Okay.
Then there's symptothermal, where they use temperature as well as cervical mucus signs. Couple to couple league would be an example there. By at least teaching healthcare practitioners one method, we would love for them to go on and learn other methods as well and be able to implement those. In the time we have left,
I
just want to talk about the initiative. So we're trying to raise money for this initiative. Basically, $900 trains one healthcare practitioner. That one healthcare practitioner will go on to have about, on average, 90,000 patient visits throughout their career.
Wow.
And because they're a healthcare practitioner, they are very credible to the patient.
Mm-hmm.
So the effect that they can have is enormous.
So are you looking, obviously, if somebody says, I'll give you $900, that would train one person, or maybe somebody says, I can give you 50 or 100, and then the accumulation of many people doing that. How do they donate? Do they just contact you directly, or do they go to the website, or what?
So they can either contact me directly, and I would love to meet with them if they want more information on some of the details, but also they can go directly to the website, and there is a donate button on the website. It allows them to donate either one time or do a monthly donation.
Okay. And do they need to specify, like, North Texas? Because this is a national website. Is there some way of saying, I'm with that Craig guy I heard on the radio?
We'd love to hear that. Okay. But they could say specifically for our campaign.
Okay.
But also they are free to put any comments that they want. If they want to direct the donation to be used here in North Texas, they can do that as well.
All right. Dr. Craig Terzinski has been my guest, Director of Development and Strategic Planning. His email address, craig@boma-usa.org, C-R-A-I-G, at boma-usa.org, or you can call him 469-877-4821. I like to say to my guests before closing off, is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know? I don't want you walking out of here saying, gosh, I wish he had asked me this. Is there anything else, or have we covered it?
I think you covered everything, but I am grateful for the opportunity to be able to see and speak with you again and get the message out to your listeners.
Well, thanks. I'm glad it's a classic example of somebody using their gifts, their talents for the greater glory of God, and also for the benefit of couples and just good science, you know.
Absolutely.
It's great. Well, thank you so much. Again, visit that website, boma-usa.org, or email Craig Terzinski. Don't try to spell his last name, because that's going to get you in trouble. Just do craig@boma-usa.org, 469-877-4821. Thank you so much. Thanks to Diane Xavier for running the board and producing this program. Thank you for listening. And also thank you for offering suggestions for future guests. I say this often. I never have to go looking for guests, because I get a lot of emails like, you know, Dr. Craig saying, hey, tell me about what's going on. Hey, let's do an interview. And so if you have a suggestion for something that would fit this program, email me, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. And don't forget to put a bumper sticker on your car. We've got the Stick Up for 9:10 a.m. campaign going on, trying to get 1,300 bumper stickers on cars across North Texas. And so you can be one of 1,300 between now and the end of the year. Thanks for listening. This has been the KTH 9:10 a.m. interview of the week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network in North Texas.